If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Wow. Big story. Group of women announced that how many 16 women say they were victims of sexual misconduct from the magician David Copperfield. My goodness gracious. Starting young. This story hitting the wires at the Guardian. For two 15-year-old girls in the early 1990s, meeting David Copperfield seemed like the thrill of a lifetime. Carla says she remembers the way Copperfield gave her his phone number after a 91 show in Georgia. About 2 years later in San Francisco, Lily says she felt giddy when the illusionist picked her to join him on stage for a magic trick. Both girls were in high school, attended Copperfield shows. The women come from different backgrounds, have never spoken, but they have one thing in common. They claim the events that follow those encounters changed their lives and that Copperfield groomed them. Gracious. Gracious. Didn't see that one coming. And okay, we got to move on. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. I got to just, we're not going to talk about politics now. We're not. We're moving on from that. We're moving on to a specific story with broad implications. I have a pellet ice maker. One of those GE, nugget ice makers or whatever they call it. Got it from my wife. We'd had an ice maker. It broke for about a year or so. We didn't have one. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get her this. I wind up using it more than her. I like to chew ice. I'm sorry, Dentists of America. I like to chew ice and the nugget ice is fine. But not actually here to talk about my nugget ice. The point is it has a Wi-Fi connection. Why does my ice maker need a Wi-Fi connection? I have no earthly idea why. Now, I bring that up because of this story. I live in Bibb County, Georgia. It is the geographic center of the state of Georgia. In fact, outside my office window from where I'm broadcasting, I can see the Ocmulgee River, where the first baptism in North America happened. Hernando de Soto coming through Georgia in quest for the Fountain of Youth, baptized an Ocmulgee Indian right near where I sit. Bibb County, the county in which I live, its phones went out the other day. They're back now. Internet's down. Email is down. A cyber attack. The outage caused problems for some people trying to do business with county departments and for the departments themselves. Tuesday's county commission meeting had to be live streamed from a cell phone instead of the usual professional broadcast equipment. The phone captured an interaction between Commissioner Virgil Watkins and Mayor Lester Miller during the meeting. "I wanted to see if we're carving out some time to talk about the cybersecurity thing," Watkins asked. "No, sir, we're not going to be talking about it out here. We'll be talking to you about it in just a second in a closed-door session." All day Tuesday across the county, people saw the effects. Bibb County Superior Court said they couldn't process documents or take online payments. At the Bibb County Tag Office, people like Lacey Smith couldn't register their cars. "I had to take time out of my work schedule, and luckily I had my mom come over with my little one, too. So a lot of moving pieces to get the work done." Smith said someone gave her a number to call to see if she could go back and get it done. quite frustrating. Even non-county offices were affected. Anytime bail bonding said they're not issuing bail bonds because the Bibb County Sheriff's Office doesn't have access to certain records or emails. Sheriff David Davis says people can still bond out. It's just slower than normal since they're using paper records. The mayor said it, other than the bond issue, the sheriff's office is largely unaffected since they're on different servers. Public safety is running smoothly. Mayor Miller says they're not sure if the county is dealing with a ransom attack or other malicious conduct. They're talking to Homeland Security. The Internet of Things is garbage. At some point, some geniuses decided they needed to connect all of the Internet to everything. And it doesn't have to be that way. This, by the way, is one of many counties in the United States that have been affected by these cyber attacks. Water systems in Texas have had chemical adjustments made remotely by malicious people believed to be connected to the Russians or the Chinese. The number of Chinese cyber attacks around the world is happening. Why does everything have to be connected to the internet? Police in my county are having to fill out incident reports by hand. Oh, the horror. Sure is efficient to have everything on the computers, but it has become a chief point of vulnerability. And it's not just county governments, it's corporations as well. There are plenty of corporations in this country that have been cyber attacked. Look at the gas pipeline a couple years ago. And you got to pay the ransom or not. In all honesty, I'm not being flippant here. I've actually thought about this. This sounds extremist. I know it sounds extremist. But I think were I in Congress, I would introduce a law. And the law would be very simple. Should any local or state or federal government entity be cyber attacked and held for ransom, the American government will give letters of marque and reprisal to any person who wishes to assassinate the hackers. I think if you're going to come after the United States and its subsidiary entities and the semi-sovereign states and their subsidiary entities, and you're going to cyber attack us and demand that governmental entities pay ransoms or else, I think you should die. I think put an act in Congress. The Constitution allows Congress to grant letters of marque and reprisal. You should do it and encourage the deaths of any of the hackers so they know that if they get discovered, they're going to be murdered. See what happens then. Disincentivize the hacking of governmental entities with death. Maybe expand it to corporations too, that if any private corporation in this country is hacked for ransom, that we're going to target the hacker with a cruise missile. We're not really disincentivizing this. And yes, it's true. In some cases, these individuals are working for governments. Treat it like piracy. Back in the day, the pirates were oftentimes commissioned to work for countries, but every country kind of did a wink, wink, nod, nod. The pirate was his own entity acting on his own behalf, and you weren't going to really turn and say, it was this nation that did it. We're kind of doing this now with cyber attacks. So send some smart person into some country and plant a car bomb in the hacker's car. Why not? We got to find a way to disincentivize this. It's hurting local governments. You know what happens when local government gets hurt like this? It's the local taxpayers who have to foot the bill. Either insurance rates skyrocket, or the local taxpayers are the ones forced to pay the cost. So if the hacker knows that his life is on the line by doing this, you disincentivize the hacker from hacking. Sure. Will there be some incentive for the hacker to get really good and be anonymous? Yes. But the internet works both ways. The series of tubes flow in both directions. The data that flows from the hacker to the hacked can flow from the hacked to the hacker. The Internet of Things, though, is the other issue. We oftentimes talk in private conversations, you and me with our friends, You know how your mom and dad's dishwasher worked for a very long time, and yet you're having to replace yours after 5 years. Your refrigerator is garbage. Your parents' refrigerator is still going strong from when you were a kid. Part of this is the compliance rules, the efficiency standards, swapping out metal parts for plastic parts, things like that. But also part of it is our refrigerators and appliances these days, they're junked up with a bunch of stuff we don't need. I'm sorry, which of you, seriously, please call me. I'm intrigued to talk to you. Which of you stands in front of your television all day watching the television? Which of you stands in front of your fridge and watches the TV? Which of you stands there? Because, you know, you can get various refrigerators now with televisions on them. Which of you stands in front of your refrigerator all day watching the TV? Do you really need a TV on your fridge? Really? Which of you uses the Wi-Fi on your washer and dryer? Who among you finds it useful to use the wireless internet connection available on your washer, dryer, your dishwasher, or your ice maker? Who among you? I am the techiest tech nerd that there ever was. I have my lights rigged up to Apple's HomeKit. They're turned on and off at certain times. I can look at remote cameras from my phone from distance. I've got my entire office set up that when I come into my office, the lights come on automatically because they know I've entered the building. I don't need it, but it's convenient. But if it was hacked, you know what I would do? I'd go out and get light bulbs not connected to the internet, and I'd flip the switch on and off. We don't need all this stuff. The efficiencies the Internet of Things has given us has made us extremely vulnerable. It's also just added more parts that break. We don't need televisions in our refrigerators. It's just one more thing that can break. What we need is a refrigerator that's going to last 20, 25 years as opposed to one that you're going to have to go replace after 5, 10 years. What we need is a dishwasher that actually washes the dishes and you're not married to it. What we need is a washer and dryer that's going to wash and going to dry and do so well and last a very long time. Instead, what we're getting, and a lot of it has to do with government regulations, it's not just private industry thinking, oh, these people want Wi-Fi. No, it is government regulation. It is incentives to offer things people don't need or want. And it is, frankly, the expense of the metal part versus the plastic part. But I would be willing to pay, if I got a refrigerator, and I knew that I would never have an issue with that refrigerator for 20, 30 years, I'd pay the premium for it. And I think a lot of people actually would pay the premium for it. Not everyone could afford to, but a lot of people would if they could. My wife and I, when we got married, we moved into a house that had been built in the late 1940s. It still had the original refrigerator. It was this big double-door icebox. It was white and kind of a creamy off-yellow color. It was nothing to write home about, but it still worked. In fact, it was so old it had a two-prong plug. It didn't even have a three-prong plug. Still worked. The dishwasher was the original, and it was not great. We had to replace it first. We kept the refrigerator for quite a while. And the refrigerator, actually, we could have kept it longer, except for the fact that they didn't make parts for that refrigerator anymore. It worked for a very long time. They don't make appliances like that anymore. You can't because of government regulations. But when you get the new one, it has the internet in it, and all it does is it adds a point of vulnerability for the hackers to hack you, or another thing that can break. We went too far with the Internet of Things, and we need to correct it. It's made us vulnerable to malicious entities, individuals, and nations, and now local governments around this country, including my own, at the present as I'm speaking, have been hacked by foreign agents with ransom demands. We need to kill the hackers. We also need to take stuff offline. It's made us too vulnerable to foreign threat.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Hang on. Is that right? Yeah, cooking. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Okay, I know that the website, ericerickson.com, it's having issues. We, long story short, rolled it over and to a new hosting company. And there's a DNS issue that is being resolved, thanks to the 2.5 billion people email. I say that lovingly. My gosh, have I gotten a lot of emails about the website. We're working on it. Trust me, we're working on it. All right, 877-973-7425. Craig, you're up next. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Before I get to my story, a quick observation about what you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only reason the Battlestar Galactica survived the annihilation of mankind was there was the only ship not connected to the internet when the
Cylons
sent out
viruses. My friend, are a man after my own heart. Yes, that is such a great example. That's great.
Yeah, the Cylons sent out the virus. It shut everything down, defenses and everything, and theirs is the only ship not connected, and that's the only reason they survived. So, you know, foreshadowing
yep.
there. But, yep. The reason I called, I was telling this call screener, 4 years ago, you know, we weren't rich by any means, but we were doing okay. I mean, we could go on vacation once a year. Our bills were paid. We didn't have to sell blood to go grocery shopping. I mean, but over those 3 years, I mean, as you know, everything went up. Groceries, mm-hmm. mortgages, insurance, taxes, you name it. And now we just recently had to file for bankruptcy. In a three-year span, we went from okay to bankrupt.
Right.
And I'm finding out, as I'm talking to people, our story is actually a lot more common than I thought it would be. And people I know are directly, indirectly, either have filed or they're thinking about filing. And I just wondered mm-hmm. if there was any statistics on, like, you talked about credit card delinquency.
Yes. In fact, there are a lot of economists who are saying this is going to hit us, that it's not something showing up yet in the statistics. In fact, there was a decrease in bankruptcies after COVID because people were getting government money. Then it's gone back to normal. But the trend line actually is that it's beginning to happen. And it is happening not just to businesses. It's happening to consumers. It's increasing in pace. And it has a lot to do with debts taken out during COVID and prices going up. People took out debts. Prices were low. Suddenly inflation hits everybody. You're obligated to these debts. And people are having to go through bankruptcy or credit planning agencies to plan. It's sad to see, and you're right. It is happening, and it's increasing. Now, I got to tell you about Hillsdale College and Imprimis before I get out of here. Imprimis is their free publication that comes to your mailbox and gives you the insights of the conservative movement. It's something you really ought to consider subscribing to because it's completely free. All you do is go to Eric, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. You go to ericforhillsdale.com today. You sign up with Hillsdale College. You start a relationship with them, and then you get Imprimis in your mailbox for free. It's part of their education mission. They're never going to charge you a penny. I've gotten it since I was in law school. I've never paid for Imprimis, but every time I get it, I get great insights, thought-provoking insights about the conservative movement, about the state of the nation, insights from leading luminaries of the conservative movement these days. ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K. That's the website you want to go to, ericforhillsdale.com. Sign up today. It's completely free, very rewarding. Your phone calls when we come back.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, because the truth is what matters. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, I'm going to go to the phones again. Matt, waiting patiently. Welcome to the show, Matt. How are you?
Hey, Eric. How are you?
Good.
You know, before I call with my talk about my point, I just want you to know that years ago I didn't like you because you were a never-Trumper, and now I love listening to you every day. Even when I had to listen to you as a rerun in the evenings here in Jacksonville. So I really like your show.
Well, listen, I appreciate it. That's nicer than what my wife says about me on the radio. kidding. However, I understand you have an issue with me.
on this one thing, like, you know, when you actually openly advocated for murder, and I think it's wrong. Under any circumstances, I think it's wrong.
Look, I know there are people like you out there who disagree with that, but I increasingly think these are acts of war. And should be treated as such, in large part because this is a modern-day form of Marx and reprisal. So for the history for people out there, in the Middle Ages, and then particularly with the rise of ocean-going empires, pirates, in most cases, actually possessed letters of marque and reprisal, and they were the agents of governments who would go out and raise havoc in trade routes. They would confiscate ships and trading routes, particularly against the Spanish Empire, taking the gold. Letters of marque and reprisal were given by countries secretly to pirates who then were, with this letter, allowed to keep the loot. And that's essentially what's happening with the hackers in Romania and Hungary and North Korea and elsewhere. They're individually acting as pirates and privateers on behalf of the Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans. And so I think we should treat them in that situation where we ourselves should give letters of marque and reprisal. And in many cases, the governments would authorize at the time the execution of the pirates as a way to discourage piracy and privateering. And I think we've gotten to that point when you have a local government that is completely paralyzed in this country. And by the way, it's not just tax services, it's medical services as well, because a hacker somewhere on behalf of the Russians wants money. I think you treat him as a pirate, and that means let somebody go take him out. It is an act of war. So, but I do understand that there are sensitivities and sensibilities out there, Matt, like you've got, that this really is advocating murder. I do get that, and I'm walking a fine line here myself, but I'm glad you called in and complained, because I know there are plenty of people out there like, thank you, Matt, for calling in and saying this.
You bet. Thanks. Have a good day, Eric.
You too. Now look, I understand the concern. But this is piracy. It's not on the open seas. It's on the open internet. And we had this great history. Sir Francis Drake was one of the famous pirates of the day. He had letters of marque and reprisal. Queen Elizabeth I denounced him and said he did not, even though he did. We know he did. And he waged war against the Spanish Empire on behalf of the British without flying the British flag. Our American Constitution allows Congress to authorize letters of marque and reprisal. And I absolutely think that these hackers in these Eastern European countries in particular, that's where it comes, they are acting as agents for the Russians in many cases. So the Russians have their hands off of them, no connections to the Russians. They're undermining American national security. They're undermining local governments. And a cruise missile in their direction would be great deterrence. Or we need to give letters of marque and reprisal to our own pirates to go after these hackers. Hack the hackers. But personally, I mean, I think at this point we just need to blow them up and that'll take care of it, or let somebody do it. Now, I'm going to move on. But Mark, I'm glad you called. Because I know that this is a tricky issue and there are a lot of people who have qualms with it, but I do appreciate the kind words and thanks for sticking with me over time, however annoying I may be. You know, the secret to my marriage for 24 years is my wife doesn't listen. You people do. She doesn't. Okay, you know what? Before I get there, I want to say something real quick. I have this entire week felt like I haven't done the best show. Today, actually, I feel pretty good. The news has been rolling in. It was a slow news day. But so I got a monologue. I wanna talk to y'all about something. And what I am learning for the first time, so I've been doing radio now since 2011. What I am learning for the first time in my career is that when I have a monologue, when I have something I want to talk to you guys about and I don't do it, I feel like it messes up everything else. And I'm not gonna get it off my chest yet. I'm gonna wait. Friday, you need to be here on Friday. I'm gonna start the show with what I've been waiting since Monday morning to talk to you about, and I feel like it's messed up everything. There are just some things I'm learning. Like Donald Trump and I, we didn't just bond over well done steak with ketchup. Don't hold our listen. Hey, if you don't hate him over it, don't hate me over it. We've connected over our lack of impulse control because he famously has none, and I'm learning that I still have to work on my impulse control. And y'all should be very proud of me that I have wanted to talk to you about something for a very long time since Monday morning, and I haven't yet. I'm saving it, savoring it, and it's driving me crazy. But we'll get to it on Friday, not tomorrow. On Friday, we're going to get there. Now, y'all, I got to place this piece of audio for you from Joe Biden that symbolizes everything wrong with Joe Biden.
It matters now nearly 40% of NHPI students rely on Pell Grants to get to college.
What is an NAAHNHPI student? What the heck is that? Native American Asian. Let's see. NAAHNHPI. What the blankety blank is? Who made him do that? What is NAAHNHPI? I know it's Hawaiian Pacific Islander, but I got nothing. And I'm trying to Google it to figure out what all of these letters. I know the last one is Hawaiian and Pacific Islander, Asian American. I got nothing. I honest to God have no idea what these letters stand for, but this has become a nation hijacked by an alphabet gang on the left. This is what they do. They throw out letters. Like for example, hang on. You know, it used to be LGBT or LGB, and then it was LGBTQ, and then it was LGBTQIAATPIA, whatever it is. And now they've symbolized it as LGBTQIA+, and good Lord, you're supposed to say it all. You can't just say alphabet gang, which is a whole lot easier than LGBTQIAATP plus whatever. It's just wild we keep adding these letters. And if you want to know what the full thing is, this is the one that just blows my mind. What actually is it? Ally, asexual, biphobia, bisexual, cisgendered, cross-dressing, drag king, drag queen, gay, genderqueer, heterosexual, homosexual, intersexual, lesbian, pansexual, omnisexual. What is an omnisexual? Oh, my Lord. Non-binary, trans. Y'all, can we stop with the lettering? The fact that Joe Biden did that. Here's the problem with this. In all seriousness, here's the problem with it. No normal human speaks that way. No normal human speaks that way. My friend Alex Castellanos, I put up a Twitter thread earlier. And I said, the Biden campaign, they're just not competent. I mentioned the Bidenomics stuff. They didn't buy the domain, and their opponents bought the domain. Americans for Prosperity did. Now you've got this release of this debate. They're trying to shut out Robert Kennedy, among other things. But in the process of doing a late June debate on CNN, they're just re-raising the specter of maybe this is his way of dropping out. He has a bad debate. They can push him out the door. And this conversation starts again. They're just not competent. And my buddy Alex Castellanos, he's a Republican strategist. He replied to me on Twitter and he said, maybe it's not a problem in terms of the campaign competence. Maybe it's in terms of the product they're trying to sell. I would say behold the healing power of and, but he's not wrong. Normal Americans do not do this sort of stuff. They just don't talk like this.
It matters now nearly 40% of NAH, NHPI students rely on Pell Grants to get to college.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P students are left behind in America. And I think the M, N, N, O, P, Q, R, X, T, Y, Z students of America should be able to succeed along with the LGBTQIAATP crowd and the NAHNIPPPI crowd. It doesn't come across as a normal person. Oh, hey, and by the way, can I just point out the President of the United States, who supposedly has a speech impediment and stutters, was able to rattle off NAHNHPI students. He's banging out Morse code in his brain, SOS, when he's trying to do this. This is what they've set him up to do. It makes him look completely out of touch. People are like, what did I just hear? And also, side note. What he's doing and what the left is doing is yet again dividing Americans up based on categories, classifications, particularly race and skin color-based classifications. This is racism. But it's progressive racism, so it's acceptable. Dividing the world up based on these things, categorizing people not as Americans, but as hyphenated Americans, degrade what it means to be an American. You don't have to be an African-American. You're American. You weren't born in Africa. You're American. You're not a Pacific Islander American. You're an American. And by the way, that Asian-American Pacific Islander standard was conjured up by the left for census purposes. It's never been a real category of people. In fact, Asian-American, Pacific Islander, and Hawaiians are three distinct categories of people who are now categorized as one sort of racial ethnic composition. This is, again, part of the insane asylum of the left. It doesn't make any sense. It divides people up needlessly. It separates them from what it means to be an American. And no normal person rattles off these sorts of letters any more than they say Latinx. But yet here we are, the Biden team deciding that this is the sort of thing he should do. It's why he's losing. I want you to be a winner, and you can be with Vision Computers. They can build you computers, and then you get their award-winning, first-class, top-of-the-line, five-star Google review service. 15 seconds or less, you get the answer to what you need with your computer. VisionComputers.com or 404Compute. 404Compute, you call them, you tell them I sent you, you get an even better deal. Vision can build your computers, but here's the thing. I want to talk to you if you're a small business, you're a dentist, you're a lawyer, you're a contractor, you run a plumbing shop, you run a security firm, and you've got employees, you got a small law firm, you got 10 employees, you got 10 computers, you want your employees to be great at the law, you want them to be great at dental work if you're in the dental office, great at plumbing if you're in the plumbing, you don't want them to be experts at your computers, and you can't afford an IT guy with a six-figure salary. For each of your computers, for $179 a year, not a month, for a year, $179, Vision Computers can be your tech support. And so each of your employees get the number, 15 seconds or less. They get their answers. They go back to being good at their job, not good at their computer. They save you money. They save you time. They keep you up. Thousands of five-star Google reviews. VisionComputers.com is the website. They can build your computers. But if you didn't get your computer for Vision, if you got your computer for Vision, this world-class tech support comes with a computer. And by the way, you're going to get a better deal on their computer than the big box store. But if you didn't, for $179 a year per computer, they will be your IT tech solution. VisionComputers.com or 404Compute. It's worth it.
well-connected, and well-respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Hello there. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. This is kind of hilarious. Mitt Romney went on MSNBC and told Stephanie Ruhle that Joe Biden made an enormous error by not pardoning Donald Trump in federal cases or pressuring New York prosecutors to drop the money charges. Romney argued that he should have pardoned Trump after the DOJ brought indictments. In an exclusive interview, Romney expressed his dismay in response to Republican lawmakers, including the presumptive Republican presidential nominee's vice presidential prospects rallying beside Trump. How does this make you feel about Republicans, Ruhle said. Romney, who is perfectly happy to criticize Donald Trump, says, I think it's a terrible fault for our country to see people attacking our legal system. I think it's also demeaning for people to quite apparently try to run for vice president by donning the red tie and standing outside, and then argue Joe Biden should have pardoned Donald Trump, that the current president made an enormous error by not doing that and by not pressuring New York prosecutors to drop their case. He should have fought like crazy to keep this prosecution from going forward. It's nothing but a win-win for Donald Trump. I've been around for a while. If LBJ had been president and he didn't want something like this to happen, he'd have been all over the prosecutor saying, you better not bring that forward or I'm going to drive you out of office. Wow. Mitt Romney. I mean, he doesn't like Trump, but let's be honest here. He's got a point. He sees the writing on the wall. All of this helps Donald Trump. Now, they did ask about the debate and whatnot, and I love this. Romney says, the image that comes to mind is those two old guys and the Muppets that sat in the back, Statler and Waldorf. But I actually think that'll be a huge audience for these debates. When I was a kid, the Muppets were on TV. They had the two old guys in the balcony, Statler and Waldorf, and they heckled everybody. That is grumpy old men, basically. That is such a great visual image of what the debate will be like. Yeah, Romney says that. Of course, now you should know the left is spitting mad at Mitt Romney this afternoon for having the audacity to say that Joe Biden should never, ever have allowed these prosecutions to go forward. It was a mistake. Because the left isn't rational about any of this. And this is kind of the trick for Trump beating the left. They have lost the ability to be rational about Donald Trump. And that plays into Donald Trump's hands more than anything else. When they cannot see straight because of their rage about Donald Trump, it gives him a very unique advantage that he can play with. And they don't know how to process it. And it's just so incredibly obvious to me that Donald Trump has a way forward. And it's not just a way forward singularly, but on multiple fronts to beat Joe Biden, because the Democrats can no longer rationally process how to take on Donald Trump. They cannot do it. Mitt Romney's right. Biden should have forced these prosecutions to not prosecute. It's only helping Trump. And the fact that the left is eating Mitt Romney alive for selling this basic truth that you all know is true just tells you Trump can play with these people and win, and they don't know how to respond to him.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of nursing, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our online RN to BSN, MSN, or DNP degree programs allow you to balance online coursework with local in-person clinical, practicum, or immersion hours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.